Morning, everyone. Hopefully, you could follow along. We're sort of doing bilingual in one sense because you've got the one version up there and what's being read out. So you get the best of both worlds as long as you could follow along. But I'm going to be using the NIV 84, which is what we have in our Pew Bibles, and was also on the screen as well. Well, good morning again. Can I add my welcome to Steve? My name's Albie. I'm the minister here. Welcome to those who are joining us online. Now, I wonder if you know this name, Noel Centillan. Now, if you lived in Iceland, you would probably know who he is. A few years ago, Noel flew to Iceland from America. He went there on holidays. And so as you do, he flew into the airport and he'd booked a hotel in Reykjavik, the capital. The hotel was half an hour away from the airport. Now, the hotel was on one of the main streets, and apologies if my accent is bad, but it was on Laugavegur is the name of the street. The only problem is he typed in Laugavegur. He added in an R into his GPS. And it was a completely different place. Now, most people with any common sense would wonder why their GPS is showing a place which is way, way, way off from where he was. But not Noel. Noel decided he would go for it. And so instead of driving 30 minutes from the airport, he drove 5 hours to the other side of Iceland, 500 kilometers away. It wasn't until he got there that he realized he was in the wrong place. But I do like his excuse. He said, "I was tired after the flight and wanted to get to the hotel as soon as possible. That's why I kept driving for 5 hours." Now, here's the point of the story, though. You need to know where you're going, don't you? That's kind of important. You need to make sure you're headed in the right direction. Now, we've had a crazy year last year in 2020. COVID and masks and restrictions. Church went onto Zoom, and then we got to open up. And then we closed down for Christmas. And then we got to open up again, and here we are. With all that going on, it's very easy to become distracted and for church to go into survival mode. We just try to work out, how do we keep going? How do we do church online? How do we squeeze everyone back in when we get back together? What do we do with kids' church? And for some people, the question is, do we even go to church? Now, school just started up a couple of days ago. Youth group is back on. Sport is happening. Swimming lessons have started up. And at the start of the year, the start of the school year at least, I think it's a good chance for us to reset and to recalibrate, to think about where we are going as a church and as Christians, to make sure we're headed in the right direction. So today's a little bit different. We are going to look at the Bible. We're going to end up looking at a survey, which I've sent out via email a little bit earlier. There are hard copies at the back. But that's kind of the big question. Where are we headed? With all the things going on, where are we supposed to be going? And to do that, we're going to look at the church in Thessalonica. Because did you see how Paul describes them in verse 7? They are a model to the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. They are a model church. And so it's worth us looking at them and then looking at ourselves. And as we take a look at Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, there's three things that we're going to look at. Gospel in, gospel out, lives transformed. Let's pray as we take a look at this passage. Let's ask God to be with us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege that it is to come together as your people. We thank you for the way that we can meet as your church. And we just pray now that as we look at 1 Thessalonians, that you'll help us to ask hard questions about us as a church and us in our own lives. We pray, Lord, that you make sure that we are headed in the right direction. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2021, where are we going? The first thing we see is how the gospel goes in. It is deep in the Thessalonians. It is powerful. Let me read verse 4. "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." Gospel. It just means good news. And if you don't know what the gospel is or you don't know how to explain it to someone, there is a great summary in verse 10. It's the message about Jesus. He is God's Son. He died to rescue us. And he was raised from the dead. And he's going to come back again to judge. That's it. The gospel here in a single verse. Now those words are pretty simple. But do you see how it comes to the Thessalonians? Do you see how it goes in verse 5? When the gospel came to the Thessalonians, it didn't just come with words, but with power and the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. In other words, it was powerful in the Thessalonians. The Holy Spirit took the message about Jesus and he sunk it deep into their hearts so that there was deep conviction. And then in verse 6, in spite of severe suffering, they welcomed this message with joy. The message about Jesus, it is not dry. It's not the same old thing. I know all this. I've heard it 100 times. That is not the gospel. It's a little bit like that TV show on SBS. Who do you think you are? Last year they had celebrities like Bert Newton and Lisa Curry, Julie Bishop. The idea of the show is that they get this celebrity and then they trace their family tree. They look at the family history. They look at the story of their ancestors. And amongst these people, there are war heroes. There's stories of tragedies, incredible stories of triumph and hope. And the idea is that it is their story. In half the episodes, the people that they're tracing, they end up in tears. You know, there's crying and there's laughing. There's joy and discovery. Because these are not facts that come out of a textbook. It's not facts that you read in the history lessons. It is who they are. It is them. The gospel is our story. It is not a bunch of facts that we read out of a textbook. It is who we are. It is our story. We are loved by God. And that is incredible that the God of the universe would love us. And we know that because he sent his Son to save us, to rescue us. You see, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I keep doing the wrong thing. I fail. I deserve the anger that's there in verse 10. God's anger. But that's why the gospel is good news. Jesus died to save me. And he's been raised to life. And he gives me that life. He makes me part of his family. I get to be a son of the living God. And we saw this last week in 2 Peter chapter 3. One day, he's coming back again. And he's going to bring me home. Power and joy and deep conviction. When we hear the gospel, is that you? How do we make sure that this goes in 2021? How do we make sure that this is not a message which is dry, I've heard it all before? By reading the Bible, seeing Jesus all over again. Looking ahead at this year, where we're going to start using the daily reading Bibles again. We've used them in the past, we're going to pick it up again. It's a way to read the Bible by yourself, but knowing that other people are reading at the same time with you. It'd be great if you can sign up for that. As we work through different parts of the Bible, reading the Bible by ourselves. Can I encourage you to join a growth group? To be part of a Bible study group? I would love if everyone was part of a growth group. It's a great place to meet up with others and to read the Bible. Or if you don't know this gospel that I just mentioned, sign up for a Christianity Explored course. It's a 7-week course going through the heart of the gospel. It's a great course to do. Make sure this year the gospel is going in. It's not just dry facts on a page. Not just I've heard it all before, but that it comes with deep conviction and joy and power. Make sure the gospel's going in, but make sure it also goes out, which is our second point. Gospel in, gospel out. Do you see how the gospel rings out from the Thessalonians? Pick it up in verse 8. The Lord's message rang out from you. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. The gospel rings out from the Thessalonians, which is incredible when you think about actually how the church started in Thessalonica. You can read about it in Acts chapter 17. Paul is there not for 3 years, not for 3 months. He's in that city for 3 weeks because there's a riot that forms. A mob is out to get him. And when they can't find him, they grab the owner of the house where Paul is staying. They drag that person off to the courts. And the story ends with Paul running away in the middle of the night. Imagine being a Christian in a city like that. It'll be easy to hide your faith away, to keep it under the radar. You know, I'll be a Christian, but I'll be quiet about it so that no one notices. It's tempting even for us today. But not the Thessalonians. The whole region knows about them. Macedonia, Achaia, everywhere they know about their faith. The Lord's message rings out from that church. It reminds me of when I was in Japan with the kids. We were at a place called Takayama, and there was a village there that was made up of these traditional houses. They had all these old big houses that they'd actually moved from their original location to be in this village with different houses from the olden days. As we're walking around, we kept hearing this strange ringing sound, this metallic sound, and we found out it was this huge bronze bell with a log suspended by ropes, and you had to swing it a couple of times to get the momentum going. That the kids loved it. When you hit that bell, it makes this deep, echoing, gonging noise. You could hear it from the other end of the village. That's what's going on here. The Lord's message rings out from the Thessalonians. And I pray that in 2021, it rings out from us. The gospel goes out to the people around us. Earlier this week, the staff team met up. Gordon, Steve, myself, we met up to talk about evangelism. Now, as Steve mentioned, we're going to work through the Gospel of John in just a couple of weeks' time. Any week in that series is a good week to bring someone along. We're going to keep running Christianity Explored courses. We did that a few times last year. It's a great course. We're also going to have 3 times this year to gear up for evangelism. It's going to be Easter and Christmas and August in the middle. 21st and 28th of March. Put that in your calendars. We're going to go door knocking. Book it in, even if you're scared. Now, all those things, all those plans, they're going to be useless if we don't do it. If we don't evangelize. Because evangelism is all of us. Who does God want you to pray for? Who does God want you to get to know and to talk to about Jesus this year? Maybe it's your 2x2x2. Remember we looked at that last year? The 2 people you're praying for? Maybe it's somebody else. But I'd love you to pray that Barney's is a place that it's a huge bell where the gospel rings out to Roseville and Chatswood, and that each one of us, we are mini bells in the office, in the playground, and when we meet our neighbors and at home. Gospel in, gospel out, 2021. The last thing we see in the Thessalonians is lives transformed. In verse 9, they turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God and to wait for his son from heaven. It is a complete turnaround. For the Thessalonians, it meant leaving their Greek and Roman gods of their day. For us, it means anything which competes with God for our love and devotion. At the start of the year, what are the dangers for you? It could well be your work and your career. It's not that you put it up there on a pedestal as an idol, but work is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and God is getting smaller and smaller, at least when it comes to your time and devotion. Maybe it's your house or your money, your family. That's an easy one to fall into, especially here on the North Shore. What are the things that are taking you over? And you see how for the Thessalonians, it leads to faith and love and hope in verse 3. Those 3 badges that get repeated all the way through the New Testament. Faith, love and hope. It's easy to think about Christianity as something which is private. It's personal. Now that's what the world says and we breathe it in. Faith, love and hope, we say to ourselves, it's on the inside. It's between me and God. But that's not what's going on in verse 3, is it? Their faith produces work. Their love prompts them to labor. Hope inspires endurance. Faith means that we trust that Jesus is in control. And it doesn't mean that we sit back and we do nothing. All we do is wait. It means that we work. But we work with confidence. We take risks for Jesus. Last week I was at the beach with Eva, and there was a particular day where the waves were pretty strong. There was no way that Eva could stand out there by herself. Actually, we tried it, and she basically got knocked over and came back up spluttering. By herself, it is dangerous. But if she's with me, and she's holding on to me, and actually if I'm holding on to her, she's completely fine. She can be in the waves. She can take risks. She can go for it. See, friends, Jesus has got a hold on us. Our future is completely guaranteed, and so we can go for it. We can take risks. I don't have to live in this world as if that's all that there is. I can give my time to serve at church. I can give my money for the work of the gospel. I don't have to be worried about missing out. Now, I've been really encouraged over the past few weeks by some conversations that I've had. People that I know who have deliberately tried to catch up with acquaintances because of Jesus. I ducked my head into next door with the kids' church going on. I'm encouraged by the fact that we started a new ministry, and it started with some of the women saying, let's start this new group for the younger kids. It's not easy, especially as I duck my head in and see all these kids running around. But faith does that. Faith puts ourselves out there so that we're on the edge. Faith leads to work. Love for God and love for the people around us, it means that we serve, even if we get nothing out of it. Hope means we keep going, even when it's hard, because it will be. Maybe you've been sitting back 2020 just trying to survive. What is that going to look like for you this year? Having a life transformed. Now, in the next few minutes, I actually want to join a few different dots about church in 2021. As I said, it's a bit of a different story today in terms of the talk itself. Now, our vision statement, if you didn't know, our vision statement is to see lives transformed by Jesus. We see that there in 1 Thessalonians. That vision statement has not changed. And we have four areas that we want to focus on. The first one is evangelism, and I've already touched on that. The gospel ringing out from us here at Barney's. The second focus area is integration. Welcoming people to come into church, looking out for people on Sundays, hospitality, inviting people over. And in that space, we're actually putting together a membership course that we're finalizing for this year. I'm hoping that all the growth groups can go through that. Something to look forward to. Children and youth. We saw this 2 weeks ago in terms of the presentation. It's exciting that we've got something that goes from bubs to high schoolers to adults. Kids Church Minis. That's a new group for the two-year-olds to preschoolers. It's happening for the first time right now. Salt and Light Fridays, it started a couple of days ago. The one that I want to end on this morning, though, is this. Spiritual growth, the fourth area. This is what I would love everyone here to be doing at Barney's. One congregation, one growth group, one area of ministry. One congregation, come to church every week. There will be some weeks that you can't make it. You're sick or you're away on holidays. That's fine. But otherwise, come to church every week so that you can keep growing and so that you can grow others. One congregation. Be part of a growth group. As I said beforehand, it'd be great for everyone to come along to a growth group. They're just starting up for this year. It's an important way to grow as a Christian, to meet up with others. We've got them running at different times of the week. Join a growth group. And to have at least one area of ministry. And I'm actually kind of talking on top of the roster. Having a regular area of ministry, whether it's helping out at kids' church or inviting people over from church, especially if they're new. Go along to Jitterbugs. Go out door knocking once a month. Being involved in serving and making that part of who we are as a church. I would love that to be the standard for all of us. We're all going to one congregation. We're part of a growth group, and at least one area of ministry, because I know some people will have more. For the next few minutes, I'm just going to press pause for a sec. I'm going to get the ushers just to have some surveys ready. Part of what I'm hoping to do, I'm not actually necessarily expecting you to type all that out, as a way to get it going, and so that we're not just sitting there thinking, yeah, I should do something, and then a month later going, yeah, I should do something. To have a chance to think about what is this going to look like for us this year, just in light of what we've been looking at. Now, hopefully, and I can get the growth group leaders to pull out your phones if you haven't done this already, hopefully you would have received a WhatsApp message from your growth group leaders with this link. If it worked, you might have also received an email with this link, so feel free to take out your phones now. You've got my blessing with that. But otherwise, the ushers have got some hard copies at the back. And so I'm going to get them to run around because there's a number of people who won't be linked to either of those. Can I get people to put their hand up and to grab a hard copy survey and a pen? Feel free to just doodle on it. Thank you, Steve. It's almost like doing an auction. So genuinely, we're actually going to sit here for like 2-3 minutes. Actually put your hand up and grab a survey if you can. I'd love you to actually fill that out and to think about how we can keep being involved and how we should respond to what we've just looked at. Where are we heading in 2021? Oh, I just walked through it really quickly. It's got your first name, your surname, a contact detail if you don't have that already. Would you be interested in doing Christianity Explored? Yes, no, maybe. Be a great thing to sign up for. If you're not currently in a growth group, so that's for those people who are not, would you be interested in joining one? Again, yes, no, maybe. If you're maybe, there might be questions about dates and time. So just tick that if that's you. Question 6 is, would you like to buy a copy of the daily reading Bible that I mentioned earlier? It's going to go through 1 Peter, Zechariah, Revelation 1 to 3, cost $9. We're going to put an order in. A way for us to be reading the Bible by ourselves together, if you know what I mean. Question 7, and that's kind of... Actually, question 7, I'd love everyone to think about that one. For the purpose of safe ministry, we need to make sure that we've got 2 adults per class over at Kids Church. Now, we're actually running 3 different groups. That means at least 6 adults across there. Doesn't mean that you need to teach. Great if you can. But otherwise, you might just be a helper who's in that room with no or little preparation, because to keep our kids safe, we need to have 2 adults in there. So again, you might not be at that point where you feel comfortable to lead or confident to lead, but you might be able to just be there to make sure that we're looking after our kids and to help out where needed. So again, question 7, tick any of those that apply. If you can help out at all on the roster, or if you can teach, or if you want to find out more. Question 8, if there's anywhere that you'd be interested in serving in. Question 9, do you have any questions, comments, or suggestions? Let me just give you a couple of minutes of silence to fill that out. Hopefully you've got the hard copy. If you're at home, I will send this out. Hopefully, again, you would have received the email or the WhatsApp. If you are at home and you don't have either of those versions, just with those questions I've mentioned, or make up your own questions, send me an email. Send an email to the text number that's going to be at the back later. So pull out your phones or type a message and send me an email that way. Be great to collect all the information just to encourage each other to be walking forward. Later on, there's going to be a question and answer time. If you still have time by the end of it, feel free to ask questions about the passage or about what this year is shaping up to look like. So it might be, again, a different nature in terms of the question and answer time there. I just give people another 30 seconds to finish off what you're doing. Feel free to keep going through the singing later or during the question and answer time if you haven't had a chance to finish that off. Okay, hopefully that was a good start. Let me just finish with a few quick words though. You know that guy that I mentioned at the start, Noel Santillan, the guy who was in Iceland, got slightly lost? Well, apparently he did it again. See, this time he typed in the Blue Lagoon, which is a really famous place in Iceland, and he ended up at the Blue Lagoon headquarters, which is a little bit different from the actual place itself. So you end up in the office space rather than the tourist attraction. Yeah, we need to make sure we're headed in the right direction. Now, if we think about this year, I pray that the gospel goes deep in us, and that the gospel, it goes out, it rings out, and that we see lives transformed by Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you are a generous and merciful God. We thank you for the gospel, that Jesus came to save us and to rescue us, that you love us that much that you sent your son to die for us. Father, we pray that the gospel sinks in deep in us and that we want to share it with the people around us and that it drives us to faith and love and hope as we seek to live for you. Amen.